Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode. Today I'm joined by Joe Casey, who helps coaches and healers get more clients without sacrificing soul or sanity. She's a certified coach, speaker, trainer and host of the Meaningful Business podcast. In addition to being British, Jo is slightly nerdy and determined to help women overcome our feminine conditioning so that we can step out, be seen and thrive. Welcome, Jo.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
So I'm really excited that I get to chat to you, because when we get together and chat, time disappears.
we both have to be mindful of the time.
Let's dive straight in. What does adulting mean to you, or when this concept that, or you know, the inquiry, I suppose, that you know, that I dive into, of like this line between wildness and responsibility, when I first mentioned it to you, what does it bring up? What's adulting
to me? It is about responsibility, but it's about responsibility for my own responses to things. So it's owning my shit emotionally. I am, you know, quite comfortable with wildness and fly by the seat of your pants, and playfulness and creativity plays a huge part in my life. And so I love the fact that there are so many areas of my life where I actively cultivate childlike curiosity and playfulness, and I never want to lose that. But the thing that is the difference for me about, I think, when I fully stepped into adulthood was that, oh, I feel really furious about that now. It is your fault. Oh shit, this is me, this is my stuff, I have to deal with this. And it means that I no longer have license to just moan and whine about things. I sometimes give myself it because I think it can be useful in limited supply. But I take ownership of my own emotional responses, because it's only when I do that can I move through the world responsibly, I think. So I'm not dumping my shit on other people. Don't get me wrong, obviously I still do it. It's not my intention to, at least I'm aware of it, and I can then apologise afterwards when appropriate.
I love that. I really love that. And also, I love that in the context of something that we were talking about a little bit off air that I want to bring on air for the people listening. So, in your bio, we talked about feminine conditioning, right? Where you help women overcome it. And as you were then just talking, around, you talked about wildness, creativity, playfulness, and emotions. Mm. And to me, because a lot of my work is around really looking at our masculine and feminine energy and layering them upon one another in a helpful way. And so knowing when to harness one and when to harness the other, being aware of what they are and using them appropriately. What's really interesting to me as you say that is all of those things, wildness, creativity, playfulness and emotion, are very feminine energy quality. And harnessing that and so let's talk a little bit about responsible feminine versus irresponsible feminine. And then also, like, let's look at the conditioning that society gives us of how to be good girls, because good girl is different from responsible girl.
Oh,
right?
So where do you want to start?
I don't know.
One of the things I was saying to you off air was that one of my a really long time friend, delicious, delicious, amazing, powerful woman, said, I struggle with, I'm not sure I want to do feminine conditioning work with you, because I really love my femininity. And doesn't if we unravel our feminine condition, doesn't that throw femininity under the bus? And I was like, no, I had never thought of it from that perspective. I think we're given a really skewed and limiting view of what femininity, good femininity is. That's what I see as our feminine conditioning, which is things like, you know, be small, be thin, be mouse-like, be deferring, be nurturing, or you know, never have anger, never sweat, never have any bodily fluids.
Wild. Like, so all of that wildness, right? All of yes. that... all of that creativity, all of that playfulness,
yes.
like it is, and to be fair on everyone,
mm-hmm.
unharnessed, so with no masculine, it's uncontrollable, right? Yes. So that can be scary.
William Dervish almost, yeah.
And so the difference between like uncontrolled feminine energy
mm-hmm.
and being a good girl is that I'm not telling you to suppress it, telling you to be responsible with it.
Yes.
And exactly. So for me, it's like, you have magic. You are a woman. You are made of magic.
Yes.
What are you going to do with it?
Uh-huh.
Because...
So it's a bit like Elsa in Frozen.
Yes.
But you know, that the whole story that she has these powers, which she's just told they're destructive, that you've got to keep them under control and then they'll burst out when she's not ready for it. And that just kind of reinforces this idea that they're destructive.
Yeah.
But actually, once she embraces them and then learns to harness them, they're magical.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really good kind of feminine heroine's tale.
Mm-hmm.
That when we can harness that, when we can fully embrace it and look at it all there and say, I am magic, I am powerful, look at what I can do. What then do I choose to do with that power? Rather than, I think if we're trying to suppress it all the time, it forms, I don't know, like, there's a toxicity there, and I think sometimes it does come out and some of it isn't fully formed, it's not fully matured. It's like, you know, your inner 2-year-old kind of comes out and starts
having a tantrum and screaming yes. at your partner.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Not that I can relate to that at all. Yeah.
No, and so like for me, like a lot of my a lot of my clients remark on how creative I am. Like, you have so much creative energy. You are always making things. And for me, I wasn't always like that, right? It is something that, because I use it, like, for me, it's like, if you don't use it, you lose it. And then it goes somewhere else, and we still have this desire to nurture and create. And I see different paths that people take with it. So there are some conditioned ways of being feminine.
Mm.
So you're allowed to be beautiful, but only within a specific way.
Yeah.
Right? Because beauty is a feminine thing, right? Like, and interestingly, in my growing up, and the conditioning I received was that beauty was shallow, and that it wasn't really it was a waste of time and it wasn't productive.
Mm-hmm.
And the women who did it weren't very clever.
Oh yes, that was yeah.
As a healthy, responsible woman, I'm really enjoying reclaiming beauty, reclaiming, like, I love, my house is full of altars. I love to have flowers. Mm. I love colors. I love and I've always played with my hair. Like, I've always had a million different colors. You know, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way of harnessing that energy in my world.
I've always loved adornment and playing about with makeup and the fact that, I mean, one of the things that traditional femininity does kind of allow us to do, because it basically says you have no innate value because you are female.
Mm.
So I think what a lot of us then do is kind of, okay, I'm going to try and find the version of me that is acceptable. So we get this freedom, we're allowed this freedom, I think, to play around with personas and so adornment and beauty and style, whether it be fashion, whether it be through how we adorn our homes or decorate our homes or how we use makeup or hair clothing, we get far more were far more liberated, even within traditional kind of, you know, male, female kind of culture than men do.
Yeah.
And so I love that idea that we can use that insight that we get from that kind of adornment, you know, am I going to be blue today? Am I going to paint it, you know, rainbow, do a rainbow eye or something like, you know, I love the fact that we're given that creative, because it almost gives us a taste of it, even when we're within the acceptable guidelines. And so then we can unleash it all. We can, unleash is the wrong word. We can, you know, really step into it. We can really embody it. We can really enjoy it. And I actually think that's one of the easier places for a lot of us women, people who've been raised female, to start experimenting with creativity. And I think it's one of those reasons why those types of activities like craft, like home decor, like hair, like beauty and things like that are looked down on within this patriarchal society that we have.
Absolutely. So what are some of the other ways that we are conditioned? Let's bring this back to like business. And actually that's one, right? Like, so if we look at art, crafts, made things that are made or beautiful versus science, money, those kind of things, which, what are lawyers, like which ones do we value more? We had a conversation the other day on one of my threads, and someone said, as a coach you can charge that. Now a coach in my world is like, you know, it's not a masculine profession in terms of energy, right? We talk, like that's what we do. It's a talking thing. And they were shocked that in comparison to like a lawyer, we get paid money, right? Like, and I think that's one of the areas that we've been conditioned, that femininity, or the feminine energy or arts or things that you might associate with that, with those qualities are undervalued in comparison to the ones that are more masculine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just look at how it works in society. If you think of like teaching or nursing or, you know, caring professions, they are paid far less by most societies than, you know, banking and finance and, you know, all those, or even, you know, football and racing car drivers. You know, it's driving a car fast.
and I think that that's a really nice place for people to start unraveling the idea of feminine conditioning, because if we were to reclaim and start, and actually what are some of the ways that we can increase the value of or release ourselves from feminine conditioning?
I think one of the first things, as with so many of these things, is recognizing that it's there for a start. So it's not automatic that, oh, I'm a coach, therefore I can't charge a certain amount, or I really struggle with money because I just think, oh, there's just something just unladylike about asking for money, isn't there? Or we tie up the money that we charge with our own personal value.
Oh, emotion. Now this this is a good one, right? Because we tapped into it a little bit with feminine conditioning. Oh. So both of us are women who identify, women who have always kind of very been quite girly in some ways, right? Like not struggled with that part. But there are things that, so feeling feminine, like emotion is a feminine quality. Versus being practical and logical and pragmatic and cutting through the feeling, it's the data, right? And there are acceptable emotions and unacceptable emotions. The box of safe emotions or dangerous emotions. So money, for many years, was classed as a logical, practical, pragmatic thing because it belonged to men. And I see a lot of coaches saying, well, you can't approach money with emotion. It's not. And for me personally, it's an amplifier. So you absolutely can, right? Like money is this amplifier. It's like sticking a magnifying glass over something. And it's a measure to quantify an energy exchange. So how do we help women not ignore the emotion that they have around money, but do something different?
Well, one of the approaches that I take with people is have them look at the value and the comparative value. Because I think sometimes we go around with all these assumptions So a lot of my clients are at service-based businesses. They're life coaches, they're healers. They want to help people. And so I ask them to compare, well, how much would somebody spend, for example, on making themselves feel better, reducing their stress, getting out of pain, getting some relief from, you know, the rat race and things like that? How much should somebody spend on alleviating themselves of those, quote unquote, unpleasant feelings? So maybe they go for a massage once a week or once a month. Maybe they go for a facial. Maybe they go to a spa. Maybe they go on holiday. Now, somebody goes on holiday, they're spending £2,000, £3,000, £4,000, £5,000 on, depending on where they're going and what they're doing. And that's going to help them to feel quite a bit better, probably, for the duration they're away. Maybe they go away for a week, maybe two. And then when they come back, it drops back down to exactly the same. Usually a little bit lower because you get the post kind of holiday blues. What we do, if you're working with a great coach or a great nutritionist, they have the ability to improve your quality of life for the rest of your life. Now, compare that to spending £5,000 on a holiday that's going to help people feel better for 2 weeks and a bit, maybe, compared to the rest of your life. There's no comparison. And yet, you say to a lot of coaches, especially when they're starting out, I want you to be charging, you know, oh, let's think about getting you up to charging £5,000 for your coaching package. Like, oh my God, what's happening? And I can remember those same sensations.
Absolutely.
Because it's about recognizing the value that we can provide and that the transformation our work helps facilitating people. Now, that to me is a combination of looking at something quite logically, but then also kind of going, you offer bloody magic, woman. How can you quantify magic? It's priceless. But if we have to use this, you know, very rinky-dink, limiting view of it, then okay, it's at least worth the price of a really nice 2 week holiday. So that to me is a way of combining both that kind of very logical, but also the magical and the wild and the, you know, the whole creative dreamer aspect.
And for me, this is why when we're talking about feminine conditioning, we're not just talking to women.
No.
Because men have been conditioned around their femininity or their feminine energy too. And so they also don't value those things, and they want to, in the same way as they, you know, if we were to change the conditioning around this generally, then they would be totally up for spending £5,000 on the best massage in the world, right?
Absolutely.
In the same way as they would a car or a football player or in anything else, because it's all really good marketing that has been going on for years and years and years. Like it's propaganda, right?
Absolutely. I run a Unraveling Our Feminine Conditioning workshop, and one of the things that I do is I will just randomly go out that morning and I will take a couple of magazines from the women's section, a couple of magazines from the men's section. And honestly, this is just I sometimes go, I wish they would make this harder, because all of the women's want, without fail, they're flowery, they're thin, they're usually white, they're very, very pretty, they're made up. The titles are things like, you know, it's all emotion-based stuff. And the men's stuff, quite often, literally, is people with gritted teeth covered in mud on the cover, just going, be a real man, how to get six-pack abs, smash your goals. And it couldn't be more stark and more obvious.
And
we're not aware. Oh, sorry, go on.
Well, what I was going to say is we really want to be aware of it. Mm-hmm. And I've hung out with small children whose parents, like me, are really not interested in continuing that conditioning or stereotypes.
Yeah.
Right? So we'll hand their baby boy a doll and a pram, and hand their girl a bow and arrow and be like, here you go.
Yeah.
And, you know, no TV households, no role models, no one else to see. A lot of the time they'll switch, and all the boys will just find sticks and turn them into swords, and the girls will find a cushion to cuddle and put to bed. Yeah. And a lot of this is I'm not saying that those things don't exist within us.
Mm-hmm.
They do, but there's a massive great spectrum And let's stop with the one very thin box that you're allowed, yes. very thin, very white, very middle class box yeah. that you, is acceptable.
Yeah, how limiting is that for all of us? Men, women, gender non-conforming, all of us to be said, okay, you can only be these things and you can only be those things. Mm. And the capacity, the magic that we're kind of keeping tethered and stifling at a time when, you know, as the human race, we really, really need a huge wave of creative problem solving and empathy. We've got some big shit to sort out.
Absolutely. And none of that stuff on its own is going to work either. It's that we're back to that layering and supporting one another.
Yes, of course. Right? Of course. Yeah, we have to do this collectively. But if I call the conditioning, it's like the water that we're swimming in. We're not always aware of it. I did exactly the same with my son. Wasn't that gun my trucks? He once machine gunned me with a French stick in Tesco's. And I was like, where did this come from?
Exactly. Yeah. It's beautiful in its raw essence. Like I love, I'm really aware that what I'm about to say is gonna get quote pulled by my team. I love men and I love masculinity, like absolutely in its rawest form. It's so incredibly beautiful in the same way as we've got good girl, responsible girl, like all of the wounded feminine, the childlike feminine, all of that. We've got the same thing, and we've got toxic femininity in the same way as we have wounded masculinity and toxic masculinity, and all of us get, like, for me, that's why I have the show. It's if everyone just adulted the fuck up, life would be better.
Yeah, be aware of your own shit and then deal with it. Stop taking it out on other people. All the world's problems would be solved.
I'm so glad that this is coming out in January. So that's it. That's what you need to do this year. I guess specifically in business, is there anything that we need to be aware of? Because I feel like a lot of businesses business was created originally kind of by the patriarchy and by men who were working it.
Yeah.
And as more women have businesses, run businesses and make money, stuff's starting to change. And have you, and a lot of us start to track our cycles, understand that we are cyclical, understand that men have a 24-hour cycle and they're at their peak between 9 and 5, which is why the day is set up the way it is. And we don't, right? We have a 28-day cycle and all of the rest of it. And then a lot of us get into, okay, it would be cool to design my business around that, but it's not very practical. So I'm interested from my own perspective. Have you come up with any, like, guiding things around femininity and business that we need to be aware of?
Not so much guiding thing, but more of a permission slip to.
Yeah.
So the 9 to 5, the working Monday to Friday in an office, was based on men who have a certain cycle and usually would have a wife or a mother at home taking care of all the other stuff for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of, you know, being creative, totally shut down, being emotional, processing, all of that. We don't do that. We come into work, it's 9 to 5. And I think if so many of us take that existing model of how business is meant to be and then try and recreate it on our own businesses and totally fall on our ass and exhaust ourselves because we don't have the same structures. We usually don't have wives and mothers there who are like picking up everything. So it's about... we have this technology now that gives us the freedom to design this in a way that's going to work for us. So let's do that. Let's collectively pool our ideas. If you find that, you know, your natural rhythm is better in the first half of your cycle, for example, you're much more creative, and you find that evenings work better for you because you like to meditate and get centered, or even just have a lie in morning, then full permission, do that, design it like that. One of the lovely things about running your own business is we get to make the rules. One of the scary things about running your own business is we get to make the rules.
Yes, and you've got to access your own creativity in order to make it. Otherwise, you just end up building a gilded cage, which,
absolutely,
you know, it's got polka dots and you chose the furniture, but yeah, it's and
there's
a cage.
Really nice crystals in there, and you've got you go girl on your wall, but at the same time you're exhausted and you're miserable.
Yes, it's still a cage. So I have one other caveat with for that, which is you can design your business however you want. And you can think that you need strategy and you need a coach and you need this and you need that. I think the number one skill that you need in order to be a good business owner and feel and enjoy it, enjoy your business, is communication skills. Because you need to manage the expectations of your clients and your family and your friends and everybody else, because we did all grow up in the patriarchy, in the conditioning of the water that we can't see. There is a weird expectation that you will be available Monday to Friday.
Oh, yes.
And that you're a woman, so actually you'll also be available on Sunday afternoon when I've suddenly thought about it and I'm going to just message you because it's in my head right now and, you know, can't be available. So getting really good at communicating when you are available, when you're not available, how you like to work, what they can expect from you, like that. That part, if you can nail that part and link it to your creativity, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Look at us. Two misfits. Who'd have thunk we could do it?
I know. Wow. That feels like a great place to ask you whether you'll do a little sentence completion of I'm an adult, but with me.
I'm an adult, but I cry and feel like I am 6 years old whenever I have to look at my tax return forms. For real. Yeah. It's been a journey. It still is a journey.
As soon as we finish, I'm going to tell you about someone who will change your life.
Please do.
I'm not going to announce it publicly because she probably has run out of space. But if you're listening and like, I wanted to know, please help me, then message me and we can chat. But I love that. I love that. You know, that's the thing. You can be a grown-ass woman and still be brought to tears by a tax return.
Yeah.
What is mine today? I am an adult. But even though I know that if I do not move my body in the morning before I start work, with all the best will in the world and every good intention, by the time I get to 5 o'clock, it's not happening. I'm not going anywhere. I'm done. I wish I could learn this. I wish I could learn this. 2020, I am going to learn this.
Okay.
There are so many days in the week where I go, yeah, it's going to be much easier to go at the end of the day. I want to get started. I want to get into this thing. Mm-hmm. I get into the thing and then I get into the next thing and then the next thing and then the next thing. And then it's the end of the day and I don't want to. So I don't. We're going to put everything in the show notes so people can come find you. But if they want to come hang out some more, tell me the best places for them to come find you.
My website is joecasey.com and I am Joe Casey letter B on pretty much everything. So on Facebook, on Instagram. I do still do Twitter, but I don't really do Twitter anymore because there's lots of people chatting. But yeah, if you can say hi on Twitter, I will respond to you because I'm nice like that. But yeah, Facebook and Instagram is where I'm at most of the time.
And I'm going to plug your podcast because it's a great podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, so go and listen to the Meaningful Business podcast.
Meaningful Business podcast, yeah.
You like me are on all the things, aren't you? So they can just search you and you'll show up everywhere.
All the things. Because I love connecting with people. And that's the other thing. If you fancy hitting me up for a virtual cuppa, I have a certain number of slots, which I just have virtual cups of tea with people each month.
Oh, that's so nice. I don't. I used to. I am, like, I love hard on my clients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
I show up on Instagram every day. I do my podcast every week, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. I genuinely care, but right now, and I totally get, and I love that. I don't have time for a cup of tea because too many people just didn't show up to them. And now I'm like, no. It may change again in the future. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
I don't really not show.
You have to be a friend of a friend now. If you're like, if you said to me, oh, would you meet my friend? She would love to have a cup of tea with you. Uh-huh. And that person said, oh, I would love to have a cup of tea with you.
Yeah.
And I'll totally have a virtual cup of tea. But I used to have, like you, a certain number of slots in my diary where anyone could go and, like, pitch in and come and have a conversation with me. And then just too many people.
That would make me really cross. It, like, don't do that, people. That is,
No. Anyway.
Anyway, this has been lovely. See, we said time will disappear.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that, my friends, is a wrap. That is the end of season one, 111 episodes. How bloody cool. There is no gap from your end, though. Next week, we will roll straight into season two. We're just going to change the format ever so slightly and give me an opportunity to ask some slightly deeper questions and get to know my guests a little bit more and also unpack some of the content from with my perspective and my thoughts on it in a little bit more depth. So in the next season of Adulting with Ebony, what you can expect is a solo from me and then one with a guest, and rotating like that throughout the year. And that means that there's an opportunity for you to send me questions. You can ask me to answer anything and I will endeavor to do so. And if that sounds like something that you're interested in, if you're like, oh yeah, I've got this one question, I'd really love to know what Ebony thinks about this, or I've got this scenario in my life, like what do I do, that kind of thing. Anything at all that you want to give me, please come find me on Instagram at Ebony Allard and slide into my DMs. Have a great week and I will see you next week.